الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, beloved brothers and elders, we had been discussing those outstanding qualities of a Muslim trader, those that are hallmarks of a Muslim trader, those distinctive features of a Muslim trader that makes him different and unique from the other business people. We had mentioned a number of attributes and qualities. Just to recap: to be truthful, to be trustworthy, to be gentle and kind, to be prompt in payment when it comes to creditors, to give respite to your debtors, to show consideration to the people that you are dealing with, and to save yourself from false oaths, to save yourself from making false promises, save yourself from deception, save yourself from charging exorbitant profits to the people around you. And together with that, we had mentioned, lastly, that to be your business ought to be free from all haram activities. Person who conducts a business, a Muslim who conducts a business, is conscious of the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no activity of haram should enter his premises. There should be nothing that is impermissible, because obviously the object of earning rosy is that it is halal. Person consumes whatever is earned, and inshallah, with the barakah of that, he is spurred on to good actions, he is motivated to carry out the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But once that rosy of his is contaminated and adulterated and mixed up with things that are impermissible, then we find the desired effect is not there. Sometimes it is things that are outright haram, like interest. Here we find there's no doubt whatsoever. Ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba. Allah Ta'ala has made buying and selling and trading completely permissible. Wa harrama al-riba. And has made interest completely impermissible. Yamhaqullahu al-riba wa yurbi al-sadaqat. Allah Ta'ala destroys riba and interest. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala increases sadaqah. So here we find under no circumstances is permissible. As I mentioned, we're not discussing it in isolation. Otherwise, there are a lot of ahadiths, a lot of verses of the Holy Quran regarding the prohibition of interest, etc. But the fact that interest is not permissible, under no circumstances must a Muslim carry this out. Not in any form, not in the form of overdrafts, etc., taking loans from the bank, charging the customers sometime interest, or paying interest in outstanding amounts. This should not be there, absolutely not found on his premises or in his business activities. Secondly, we find sometimes there are items that are for sale that a person sells in his business, and he regards this as permissible. He says, "Mawlana Sahib, I'm not eating these items. I know it's haram. I'm not eating. I sell them to those people that eat it. For example, chickens that are not slaughtered in an Islamic manner, or corned beef, etc., that's not halal, etc. Person is not consuming it, he's selling it to somebody else. That which is not permissible for us to consume is not permissible for us to sell as well. So we should not be selling these items as well in our premises. Those items in our premises may not be there. Imagine you have 500 items or 200 items, and from there you have 5 items that are absolutely haram. This is like having a nice container full of milk, pure milk, and putting one or two drops of urine, or putting one or two drops of alcohol in there. Same, no, just a minute amount, one or two drops are in. Who is there will consume it? Because it's contaminated. Similarly, our business is contaminated. We have sometimes that people justify, well, if I don't sell this records here, this music, etc., then the people won't come to my shop. Fine if they don't come to your shop. Why attract them through haram? If you attract them through haram, that will bring no barakat for you. In the end, you will be suffering misery, hardships and difficulties. You don't know from where it is coming. It's coming from your very business and from your earnings. So we should not see what the people want. We should see whether we are conforming to the Sharia when it comes to our business. As I mentioned, this is so common phrase that is heard. If I don't sell this, Mona, people won't come to me. In overseas, they say, Mona, if we don't sell liquor, then people won't come to our store because it's sold everywhere else. And people become shameless, that we also become shameless. It's a nice thing in Gujarati, person is a shameless, that we must also become shameless. Haji Vidat will tell us what is that. So it means we must follow the Sharia. We must not follow the trends around us. This is why we have to be extra conscious in our context, because we have non-Muslims around us. The person next door is selling alcohol, so I also have to sell alcohol. He's selling records, music, etc. I also have to sell it. No. We see that we do not contaminate our income. Sometimes what happens, it takes, haram takes so many forms here in our present context. Sometimes in the form of advertising. In the form of advertising, a person is selling a soap, but he has a naked woman there. Person is selling something else, but the advertising strategies are not proper. There's music played there, etc. The advertising strategy is not proper and is not permissible in Islam. So sometimes it is that. Sometimes we are adopting the ways and norms of the people around us. Those things that have a religious connotation. Christmas is coming, we also have a Christmas father, and we also have everything regarding Christmas. Diwali comes, we also have everything, happy Diwali, etc. Christmas has a religious connotation. What is Christmas? It's derived from the word Christ. You can go and find out the history, what it is. So here we don't follow them. They are doing it, so we do it as well. Sometimes in the form of gifts. Sometimes the haram takes the form of gifts. How? Time of Christmas, Simona, I buy some liquor, something to drink for my customers. Because they celebrate Christmas by drinking, so I buy that to promote my business and to appease my customers so they can support me. That's also haram coming to our business. So all forms of haram we should abstain from, whatever form it comes. You have taken so many forms, you can go on and on. You go into some shops, you find there's a gambling machine there. Put in 2 rand, 5 rand, and you pick some prize there. This is nothing but gambling in another form. Sometimes things like lotto, etc., are written there on the window. You'll find lotto, etc. Before it used to be horse racing, etc. Those horse cars, those things are sold here. These things are sold here. All these are impermissible. Raffles, all this is gambling. So we should abstain from haram. It's just one word. But the thing is, it has very wide range of meaning. It takes too many different forms. And if you are not conscious, we are not aware, then we have a whole lot of ulama-i kiram in our midst. We have the Darul Uloom, we have respected Mufsis here, we have ulama-i kiram, Jamiatul Ulama, we have other institutions where you can go and consult. And today, the press of the button sometime, you can contact also a reliable Mufti and a person that has experience and ask them the mas'ala. Like we ask the mas'ala when it comes to our namaz, like we ask the mas'ala when it comes to ihram, like we ask the mas'ala when it comes to umrah. Even more important is to ask these business masail. This business masail will bring us income. And if that income is not from halal sources, then that will affect all our ibadat. It will affect our salat, it will affect our namaz, it will affect our du'as, etc. All of that, if the basis is not correct, then what will happen? We find what we find today, that there is disobedience and there is no spirit there. There is so much propagation of the deen of Islam in the form of bayans, in the form of publications, etc. Yet the motivation and spirit of carrying out, this is not there. In many cases, it is haram. If you go to see, it's haram income that is coming. And because of this haram income, this has become a barrier now. This has become an obstruction now for us to go towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conscientizes that when we become Muslim traders, one of the traits here, important trait and characteristic is, everything in my store must be halal. Without any exception, irrespective of who buys here and who comes here, what I sell is absolutely halal. Then inshallah we will find that barakat that we look for. That barakat that we look for will come with halal and not with haram. There can be no barakat in haram. Together with that, an overriding principle for us at all times, especially for me and all of us, is to be Allah conscious at all times. Irrespective of where we are, whether we're in our homes, whether we're in our businesses, we must be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. When a person has the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not become unmindful of the presence of Allah, of the power of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, of the commands of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, then what we find, that obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes second nature. That is why when we look at the verses in the Holy Quran regarding buying and selling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, especially in Surah Jum'ah, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ السَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Because buying and selling at the time of the Azan, in the time of Jum'ah Salat, was prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when the Salat is over, then it is permitted. Dua, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Disperse in the lands. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And seek from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant by bounty of Allah and the grace of Allah? The rosy from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And definitely the bounty and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask those people who cannot earn an easy rosy, who cannot have anything to go by. What a grace and favor of Allah that He grants us rosy and He grants us barakat in a rosy if we adopt the right way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively so that you can be successful. remember him excessively where, not only here in the masjid, but even out there when you are seeking your rozi, whether you are in your shop, whether in your occupation, wherever you are, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the qudrat of Allah, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember them, do not forget them. Some commentators mention that the Jews used to celebrate the Saturday. On Saturday, there was no business activity. Those were separated. It seems quite a number of people are separating it, even in Islam. When it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the masjid, mashallah, we are conscious of every action, sometimes of every mustahab also, alhamdulillah, very good spirit. But when it comes to business, as I mentioned, nobody must mind my business. Person conducts his business the way he feels like. Islam does not divorce business from the ibadat, but when you there also, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exceptionally, follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse that I recited, mentions the attribute of those people that have the light of guidance by coming to the masajid. Very long verse in Surah Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Nur, يَهَدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah ta'ala guides whomsoever he wants to his light. What is meant? The light of guidance. The right of guidance can be obtained here in the masajid, in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people that come to the masajid, inhabit the masajid, make the ibadat, and they have the light of guidance, what is their attribute and quality? رِجَالُ اللَّهُ تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those people that no trade and no selling, makes them neglectful and negligent of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تلهيهم تجارتو ولا بيعون عن ذكر الله. That tijara, trading, and bayun, selling, does not make them unmindful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other words, when they go to the bazaars and they go to the marketplace, they still remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other words, their efforts here in the masajid and the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur that they've attained is so strong that it overpowers the darknesses in the bazaars. Why do I say darkness in the bazaars? Somebody came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are the best places in the earth? The reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khairul biqa masajiduha. The best places on the face of the world, on the earth, is the masjids, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sharrul biqa, which are the worst places, O Prophet of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, aswaquha, the bazaars and the marketplaces. Those are the worst places. Why? Because the greatest amount of disobedience takes place there. Lying, cheating, deception, and underweighing, and taking false oaths, etc., and so many other things, abusing the tongue, abusing the eyes, etc., in those places. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful deen that we follow the dictates of deen, the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we can gain lofty status by going to the worst place under the face of the earth and behaving in the manner prescribed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by having these attributes, as I mentioned: honesty, being fair, and being lenient and gentle, and paying consideration to our customers, not making false promises, at the same time not deceiving anyone, not cheating anyone, not monopolizing the items that are there, not charging exorbitant profits, etc. If you have all those characteristics, then we can become like these people. Rijalullah tulhim tijaratu wa la bay'un 'an dhikrillah. They are in those places where the greatest amount of disobedience is taking place, and people are unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people are not unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trade or selling. Here commentators mention that when you say trade, tijarullah tulhim tijara. Tijara means trade, and trade is buying and selling. Wala bay'un, and bay'un means selling. Some say what is meant here by trade is general. Sometimes you trade and you get profits later. And bay, something that you sell, means you are immediately getting the profits. Whether the profits are immediate, advantage and profits are immediate, or they come later, or they accrue later, this person is not unmindful of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the remembrance of Allah. First Allah ta'ala mentions, and dhikrillah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa iqamis salah wa ita'is zakah. Together with the zikr of Allah, they establish the salat. Otherwise, when they go to the bazaars, they do not forget the salat. And together with that, they do not forget the zakat also when they earn a lot of wealth, but they give the zakat also happily and give it understanding. There's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa iqamis salah, yakhafuna yawman tataqallabu fihi al-qulub wal absar. And they have together with that the fear of reckoning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of that day when the hearts will be overturned and when the eyes will be overturned. Hearts will be overturned. Hearts will not know what is going to be the decision regarding myself, whether I will be successful or whether I will be unsuccessful. The eyes will be overturned. It's mentioned they will be looking left and right. I do not know where I will be getting the book of deeds in my hand, in the right hand or in the left hand. They fear that day. They are standing in the bazaars here, but they fear that day, the day of reckoning, the day of judgment, the day of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accounting, the day of accountability. They are conscious of that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me and all of us, we have this attribute and quality, whether we are in the bazaars, wherever we may be. Salim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the son of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, my father went into the bazaars, and then when he came there, the time for salat came, and people began to close the doors, close the shops to go for salat. My father said, these are the people for whom this ayat was revealed, that they are not unmindful of carrying out the salat at the time of salat, even though they are in the bazaars. There were two people in time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One man was a general trader, and other person was a blacksmith. He used to make swords. But when the time of azan used to come, it's mentioned this person who used to be weighing, used to stop in his tracks, leave everything and go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person that was a blacksmith, he had a hammer in his hand. When that hammer used to be lifted, it could be lowered. He should not hit the hammer when the azan used to go. He should release the hammer and go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned it was for these people that these verses were revealed, that they are such people that trade and buying and selling and trade does not make them unmindful and negligence of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look, we find even the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are so many du'as that are prescribed for a person that goes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri hadhi suq wa khayri ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min anusiba fiha yameenan fajira aw safaqatan khasira, aw kama qala Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, I ask you from the good of this bazaar and the good that is therein. And I seek refuge from the evil of this bazaar and the evil that is therein. And oh Allah, I ask refuge in you from taking an oath that is false and from a deal that will not be lucrative, where I will lose. I ask you, oh Allah, I ask you refuge from these things. Turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the bazaars. Another dua that is prescribed, we have it on the board. A person goes to the bazaar sometime, it does not make much profit, but he can gain millions in seconds. Person that enters the bazaar and reads this, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamd yuhyi wa yumit wa huwa hayyun la yamut bi yadihi alkhair wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. In an authentic hadith is mentioned that the million rewards he gets, and a million sins are forgiven, and a million status is elevated. And some rewards, with a million rewards and a million sins are forgiven, he gets a house in paradise. In some rewards is mentioned that a person who recites this dua in the marketplace, he gets that amount of reward that is equivalent to his body, that is on his body. And as a matter of interest, is mentioned that about plus minus 100,000 hair every person has on his head. Now we can imagine all the hair of his body put together, this person reads that dua. He may buy something or not buy something, but he gains millions of sawabs when he goes in the path, he goes into the marketplace and reads this dua. The commentators mention a very striking point here. He gets more dua here in reading this in the marketplace than reading it in a masjid in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is that? Because this is a place of negligence where people do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They is remembering Allah. And to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place of negligence, this mention is like that green tree when the days of beautiful tree that has leaves on it in autumn, when all the other trees, the leaves has fallen off. It is like that bright light in a dark house. That person remembers Allah ta'ala in a place of ghaflat, the place of negligence, is like a light in the place of darkness. It's like that person who is facing the enemy, when all his companions have left, he is standing, soul alone is standing, and he's facing the enemy. It's like that person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the marketplace. So much merit and so much reward. One riwayat is mentioned that there were two, Abi Qidaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that there were two companions that were in the bazaars. And when they came there, they said, let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istighfar, for forgiveness, while all the other people are negligent. It is mentioned they did so, and one of them passed away. His companion sees him in a dream, says, remember when we were in the bazaars, we made istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Allah ta'ala forgive us, why? Because that's a place of negligence. Everybody is worried about the rands and cents. Everybody is worried about, so to say, Tenga Baba, like you say, they want the customers to come in. There a person is thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even there, this is the great reward that is in store for that person. One riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes subhatul hadith, and he does not like tahreef. Companion said, O Prophet of Allah, what is Subhatul Hadith? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when everybody is engaged in worldly conversation, then a person is engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. And what is tahreef? It's a person enjoys prosperity and in good life, and when his neighbors or companions ask him, then he complains about difficulty and hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests that. And how often you see it? Person has a very good life, and you ask him, he begins to complain of difficulty and hardship, yet he is in prosperity, he has good conditions, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such a person who does so. So here we find remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the bazaars is a great attribute, and being conscious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why to be in the bazaars as well? That is why if you turn the pages of history and look at the previous people that used to trade and that were in the bazaars, we find that their behavior is completely different from the people today. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has predicted this: يأتي على الناس زمان لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه أم من الحلال أم من الحرام. That person will not care before Ramadan, when before Qiyamah, the person will not care. He will not be concerned how wealth will come, how wealth will come to him. Is it from the halal sources or from haram sources? But in those days they were very particular, very very particular. And we find that business integrity, goodness, kindness, compassion for the people that they should deal with. They should look at the person coming into the store. The needy person should help the person. Person got nothing, should try and help the person, make show consideration to the person. Not that, like we say today, I just want to make myself a quick buck, whomsoever it is, whatever the circumstances are, I'm not concerned. No, it was not like that. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some section of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so unique. As a Jabir, one riwayat, as a Jabir radiallahu anhu says, that I was in a safar and I had my camel, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to me and told me, do you wish to sell this camel? I said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I purchased this camel. And when you come to Madinatul Munawwara, then you should come and meet me in the masjid and I will pay you for that camel. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jabir radiallahu anhu says, that when I got to Madinatul Munawwara, I went to the masjid. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to read 2 rakat salat. This is known as tahiyyatul qudum is safar. The person comes from safar, he should first go to the masjid and read 2 rakat salat. He read 2 rakat salat, and after he came out, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen carefully, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qadani wa zadani. Qadani wa zadani, words of Bukhari Sharif, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid me and gave me more. Paid me and gave me more. This is not interest. Interest is when you make a condition that I'll charge you 10 rand, and if you pay me after a certain day, I'll charge you 20 rand. But if a person voluntarily gives from his side, then this is not interest. Rasulullah ﷺ paid me the amount that was he owed me for that camel, and he gave me extra. Who? Rasulullah ﷺ. Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ to give extra. How often do we practice upon this? And then Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that when I was going, Rasulullah ﷺ said, oh Jabir, come here, and he gave me that camel. He gave me extra money and he gave me that camel. Some say he gave the camel to Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, because Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu was burdened with a lot of expenses regarding his sisters, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the context of this purchase and sale deal here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam assisted him. Some of our students, when they heard this hadith, one of them assisted ordinary person, he assisted, he gave them transport from one place to another place, said, I'll charge you a certain amount. He got to the airport, took the person to the check-in counter, and then gave them back the money. That person became so attracted towards the deen of Islam that this was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One person bought some fruit from those people that walk around and sell fruit. He bought the fruit, he took the money, he paid that person, didn't give them more, just paid the person, gave back the fruit. That person said, course. You know what course means? Allah. So attracted by the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also have opportunities of people coming to us that are poor, especially those people sitting at the roadside that are poor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me, what is my nature, what is my way? The person says it's 10 rand for 10, and I would say make it 8 rand. That person is sitting there, 8 rand and 2 rand makes no difference to me. My children may be spending 200, 300 rand. My wife may be spending 2,000 rand over a weekend. But I will squeeze that person sitting there at the roadside there for 2 rand. I'll squeeze that person. My spirit should be to pay them 15 rand and give them back those items to show the generosity of Islam. And this was not restricted only to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This spirit of assistance, the spirit of integrity, honesty, we find was across the board from that time right up to this day. We find people will consider the person that is selling, inshallah, will continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.